Welcome to the Driven to Succeed Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Olson, and today, my co-host, Terry Torito.
How we doing, everybody?
Terry, what do we want to go over today? We've talked about a lot of different things on our podcast recently, but we've had some recent events that's, you know, with some agents and some certain things about seller concessions.
It's back in the buyer's hands.
Right.
We haven't seen that in a long time.
Right. So now we don't know. So now some people are like not apt to what it really is,
right.
What we can use them for all the way.
I've even had agents are like, gosh, I haven't done this in a long time. A
couple years.
Yeah. They're like, how do we do this again? You know, right. Like how much can we offer? How much can we get? And, you know, so I just, my last, six loans, I've gotten seller concessions, which is pretty huge.
So today we're going to talk about a few different things, right? What can they be used for? You know, what, a little bit of talk about closing costs. Maybe that's what we should kind of get into first. Because you can't use seller concessions for any kind of down payment, can you?
Can't use it for down payment. You can't use it for new windows.
Right.
You can't use it for appliances. You can't. You can't be like, can I just get cash back? No, that doesn't work like that either. But you can use it towards, your upfront mortgage insurance.
Right.
You can use it for, I made a list even, you can buy down your rate,
yep.
Which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, those are in addition to just actual closing costs,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, when there's a loan, there's closing costs. It costs a lot to do a mortgage, to do the papers. A lot of people, how many people do you think touch your file from start to finish on a loan?
Easily 10 to 12.
Right. Between the title company and the mortgage company.
Oh, yeah. Maybe even 15 then.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because there's a lot of hands.
There's a lot of hands.
Everyone thinks it's like, well, you get paid this and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what is it? A lot of people.
Right. There's and the biggest thing where the loan costs, they have risen a lot over the last few years. Is because of just the cost for personnel to do the work or the technology to do the work. So the loan costs have kept going up, and you know what we've been able to get, you know, to subsidize that, people have been paying for out of their own pocket or using down payment assistance loans for them as well.
It's just nice to get, like I said, I just 2 minutes before this podcast, I just locked a loan, and I mean, he got $12,300 towards closing costs. That's
correct.
So then he was like, well, so now he bought it down. He
went, used his own money to buy it down.
Yeah, he used his own cash to buy it down. Well, now he doesn't have to bring, you know,
right, the extra $12,000.
The extra $12,000 to closing. Guess what? You can go buy yourself some new furniture, you know?
Right.
That goes a long ways.
Right.
When you really think about it.
Let's talk about some loan programs and like how much you can get. And you know, let's start with the most common loan program, which is a conventional loan.
Straight up conventional loan is, you know, if you're putting
let's just start with just what is the typical
3%.
Right.
3% seller paid closing costs is pretty much
the top.
Yeah. I mean, what we talked about kind of before we came in here, like I looked at these numbers, you guys, and it's like if you put down 10 to 25%, you can get 6%.
Or even
if you go over 25% down, you can get 9%. There's no owner in their right mind who is going to do that, because if you have 25% down, they're like, I'm not giving you anymore. I'm not giving you any more money.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So
I mean, at that point, you're better off just getting a reduction in sale price.
100%.
I mean, but it is there. And a lot of people don't know this.
You never know what comes up either. Like what, I mean, every scenario is different. So
right.
You just don't know what if they have to move to, what if they have to move in 3 weeks, they're done, they're out of the country, something.
Right.
Well, right. Guess what? It could be in your hands.
Right.
I guess if you don't ask, you don't get.
Right. That's
good luck.
Number one thing.
Good luck.
And the reason why the last few years we couldn't get it, because there were just multiple offers, right?
You weren't getting it.
So, you know, when it's a seller's market, they dictate the purchase, really. I mean, it's, you know, the agent for them, if they have an agent, which, you know, most of the time they do, they're going to look at the market and say, okay, what are the comps that they sold this home for? And then they're going to tell you, hey, you know, I think this home should sell around 350 in this neighborhood based on these comps. So we're going to put it at 350. And then, you know, last couple of years, they put it on the market, and within 10 hours, they had 30 like showings, you know. Yeah. So now they're getting like 10 offers.
Right.
You know, in some cases, you know, I've seen them like, you know, sometimes where it was like in the 20s, you know, number of offers. So, you know, they could dictate, and it, people are going way over lists. So you couldn't ask for sellers.
I did one open house 2 years ago, and it was, I felt like I was a security officer at a nightclub. Because there was 50 to 60 people in line, and I was like, everybody move to the left. I was like,
any fights break out?
Right. It was absolutely insane.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was a feeding frenzy.
Right.
And people were like, whatever you want.
Right.
Whatever. I'm like, should have sold my house then.
Right. You know? Exactly. I mean, it is what it is. But now, let's say the market has softened. You know, we are coming in the spring market, and I've already started to see some of this change a little bit. But right now, if you find a house that's, you know, whatever price it is, it's in, and there's no other offers on mm-hmm. it, I mean, there is a possibility of getting the discount and then asking for the seller pays. But this is all about seller concessions,
right,
which is seller paid closing cost right. money, right? So let's just talk about that. You've hit on a couple of things. You can use it to buy down points, right?
Yep. So you can, like I said, you can use some of that money to, you know, you can even do the a 2-1 buy down on it if you want.
Right.
You know,
that's
the options are there.
So what is a 2-1 buy down?
You explain that for me.
The easiest way to explain that is you can pay your interest up front for the first 2 years, and the first year is 2 points off the rate you lock at. So if we lock it at 6.5%, your first year payment, you're actually put this money in escrow account, it's subsidizing the payment that first year and then the second year, but 2 points. So you're actually showing a 4.5% interest rate for that first year, which could have like a $200-$300 payment, depending on
the
loan size.
That's a big difference, yeah.
Less payment those first couple of years. And it's really common right now because the industry does believe, and we do, with all the data that's out there, we do believe the rates are going to come back down. They had to push it way up for inflation. That's simply what they did. But they do feel like they are going to come back down here in the future. So, you know, doing a 2-1 buy down, get a couple hundred dollar payment lower, then let's just say 18 months from now, rates are back in the fours. Well, now you're...
Now we refinance,
now refinance
him. Now
right?
He's going to be fine, yeah.
Okay, so that's...
But if it doesn't,
right.
Now you got to be prepared for
right.
your payment to go up. But hopefully, during that time, you've either advanced in your job yeah. or,
right.
you know, you built up to that.
Correct,
because yeah. sometimes people... That's going to scare people. They're like, oh, you didn't tell me that.
Right.
Yeah, we did.
Well, you know, if the status stayed quo, you know, the status quo stayed moving forward for them, they should be able to refinance and so forth. And roll and call. That's when you refinance, you typically roll in your closing costs. You can right. pay them again and so forth, but you typically roll it in. But regardless, the 2-1 is 2 points off the first 12 months. And then 1 point off the next
year.
So you're paying that, you collect that money up front. It has to be paid by the seller. You cannot pay that out of pocket.
Or the agent.
But
haven't
seen
again,
too many
I
agents
still don't
off
know
of that.
One agent to go, hey, let me do that
right,
for you.
Right. anyway, so you have that. You know, you can use it just to flat out use it to buy down the rate. So let's take a loan size of $350,000. And, you know, the cost to buy it down in our terms is 50 basis points, right? So 0.5% on 350, which would be essentially $1,750. But you could buy it down for like 3/8 of a point. And, you know, a 350 loan size, that might be $70-$80 on payment. So you got to take that and divide that out by the cost and be like, hey, I can save this over the course of the long term mm-hmm. of the loan, right? So now let's say you have the sellers that are giving you closing costs. Maybe you have additional money. You could buy it down yourself or whatever. It kind of gets mix and match.
Right.
But you can get seller concessions, and they can be used towards paying down closing costs.
It even goes towards, it goes even towards like appraisal costs. You know,
mm-hmm.
appraisal costs, real estate.
Well, does it go if you get a low appraisal?
No, you always have to bring that extra
yes,
money.
You cannot use that to cover
low
appraisal.
Can't use it to cover appraisal. But it goes towards appraisal costs.
Right,
know, so
right.
keep that clear, everybody. It's yes. Yeah.
So, you still have to pay. So those. To list off all the things, you have an origination, you have processing, you have underwriting, these are closing costs, you have title fees, you get upfront mortgage insurance, you know, you have escrows for taxes and insurance. That's what a closing cost can be, and that's where concessions can cover. So
it, I mean, even attorney fees if you need them, you know, but you know, if you don't want an agent. You know, right. But it can cover that too.
Yeah, so instead of a title agent, you mean?
Right. Well, it can cover title insurance, but any attorney fees out there, you know. Like, can't you? What if they don't want to hire an insurance agent?
As it's listed, on the CD that is cost, it's like the broker fee. Right. So you pay an agent a broker fee, but instead you're doing a facilitator or a real estate attorney. And they do the facilitation. Yes, it can cover that. So you are absolutely correct. Now, I ran into one recently where the question came up with seller concessions. Can it cover upfront mortgage insurance cost on an FHA loan? Yes, it can. So you have to pay the entire amount. It can't pay half.
It's got to
so
be all paid.
Like, you know, $350,000, it might be, you know, $430,000 purchase price on a home. I just had one yesterday. You know, the upfront mortgage insurance cost is 1.75%, which is $7,300, right? So the seller can pay that as long as the seller concessions paid the entire balance.
Got to pay all of it.
Yeah. Now let's go into, we talked about conventional loans. Let's go into what FHA, what's the max that you can get on an FHA?
FHA and USDA are the same at 6%.
Right.
You know, which is nice.
Yes.
You know, it's a little more leeway there.
Could you get all 6% of that?
Can you?
Yes. You have to use it all is the
you
question,
have to
right?
Use it,
so
yes.
you can't get additional, you cannot go above the actual closing cost.
Right.
So it gets tricky. I've run into it before where the closing costs, let's say on an FHA loan, you take, we're going to take 4% seller paid closing costs. But in reality, once we get all said and done, when we reconcile the files, right. the loan file.
You can't
file,
get money back.
Correct. Right. And it's only 3.8%. What ends up happening is that seller now retains that money, right?
They don't, yeah.
So you negotiated a deal. Let's just say it only was 3.5%, right? That the end total is 3.5%. And then you're a couple days before closing and the closing department says, hey, you're 0.5 over on your seller paid. So this 0.5, and that's a $400,000 loan amount, is going to be $2,000. They would get that money back.
The seller would get that money back.
And you don't want
to bring a minimum of 3 point on FHA,
so this is
3.5%.
Correct. What you don't want is the seller just retaining $2,000 because you negotiated that in the first place.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you either reduce the sale price by that $2,000 so that it matches up. And if you got time and you don't have to worry about CD trid and days or whatever, you can do that. Or a lot of times it's not $2,000, you know, it might be like $500, $600, $700. So a lot of times people will get, we can throw in a quick warranty, 1 year warranty on appliances and things of that nature. So you don't have to do that. Otherwise, you know, I've seen it before early on in my career when you didn't know exactly how all this worked, next thing you know, the seller's getting $800 back at closing. And it's like, oh man, that's not good.
That's not good.
Because you didn't do the best benefit for your, for your
by
for
adding
client.
In those little extra things.
Right.
Like I said, a home warranty for a year could be $500, $600.
Right.
It's a quick little easy add-on.
Yeah. And then if, you know, you just cannot exceed, you know, so there's other times where we're like, okay, well they've already paid for the appraisal. That was $500 or $575 or whatever. Well, let's take that off the CD so then it's covered, and then we'll just refund them the $575 after the fact.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different ways. You just have to be aware of it. And as buyers, you just have to be, you know, this is, you know, for loan officers, agents, but specifically for, you know, clients, borrowers, people that are buying homes. This is what we wanted to talk about today was so you can understand what seller concessions are, what they can pay for.
How long will it last? No idea. Maybe till spring only. You know, usually this off season, you know, in the wintertime, people don't want to move. So you know what? You might get a little more. You might every year in the heart of December and January. I'm not helping you move.
So what about this? Let's just say the seller is stuck on the mud. They have a certain number they have to get. So they had list the house for $350.
So they're not underwater themselves.
Yeah, but and they don't want to give it up. Like they don't want to give up 3% on $350,000.
Then why don't we go then? So then, kind of like on some of these new builds, well then wouldn't they raise it to like go a 370?
Right.
Raise the price. Raise
right.
The
so three. Price. Let's go 350, 3%. Conventional loan max you can do. That's $9,000 plus another. Essentially $1,500, so you're $10,500 is the max you can get, right? So in this case,
so then you raise it up to
$360,500 to get the $10,500.
Then get it, they get what they
net,
want.
They could get what they want.
But then it just has to appraise then for that
$365,000. Correct. So you also have to make sure it appraises, right. Appraises for that too. So there are different ways to get it. You know that because people are like, can't we finance to finance it in? That's the only way to finance it in on a conventional or a US or FHA loans. Now there is ways you can do it financing it in some of the closing costs by doing lender credits. So say you can't get any seller concessions from the seller, but you're short $4,000. There is a way we can do where we the interest rate. Say it's 6.5. Well, if we go to 7.125%, we'll cover that $4,000 in cost. So you're paying more monthly. Think of it this way. What if rates are going to drop back in the next 24 months? You're paying more right up front, right. But now down the road, we can now refinance into a lower anyway. So there's multiple different ways, but why do they call us? Because we're the experts on this, right? This is how we figure this out. This is why the real estate agents, you know, we help them, we guide them when we're doing the transactions. You know, like how can we make this transaction work? Because we know what we have to work with, right? Now we have to find out what the seller is willing to work with. You know,
it's funny. Like sometimes even I'm pretty conservative in general, but it's. On my loan that closed last week, they asked for, he's like, Terry, do you think we should ask for it all? And I'm like, I mean, and then the agent was like, heck yeah, you asked for it all.
Right.
Ask for everything, because all they can say is no.
Right.
And it's true. It's absolutely true, because if you ask for five, you're not going to get five. You're going to get 2,500. If you ask for 10, probably get five.
Right.
You know, I was like, most people, I mean, I don't know. I've seen, I don't know about you, but it's always, you know, let's meet in the middle.
Right. I mean, having a good agent that is good at negotiating is, I mean, the real estate agents should be good at negotiating, period. Right. But you might have somebody that's newer, not as experienced versus somebody that's sold hundreds of properties. Right. So you have that balance that you have to worry about a little bit. But for the most part, you know, negotiating that, but asking for it all. Assuming there's not 20 other offers on the table, they might not even, ask for it all, they don't even respond.
If the house just came up, just remember this, if that house just got put up, you're probably not going to get it. Now, 7 days later, if there hasn't been an offer, shoot. Why not? Because guess what? It hasn't moved yet.
Now
take the shot.
The biggest thing is, you know, real estate agents, the selling agent, the listing agent, they don't have to tell you there's other offers or there's other showings, but it's in their best interest to be like, hey, we have 30 showings this weekend. It just came on. It's Friday night.
Right.
You know, we're going to hold off, you know, with your offers, right? You know, it's a dick move if they don't, if they don't tell you anything.
Right.
You know, but generally speaking, most of them, they want to get the deal done.
They want to
get the best money for their seller
and
so forth. So good agents, some of them be like, hey, we'll shut this down today. We're not going to ask for closing costs and things of that nature. So we kind of turned into from a seller concessions to more of a just what you should know when making offers.
And even if that house is now, let's say that house has been up for 20 days.
Right.
Now you can ask for, my last clients asked for $25,000 less. Right. And 3% seller pays, right. And they got it.
Well, and let's face it, last fall, I mean, listing agents were pricing homes based on what the market did for the previous 24 months.
Right.
And they were like, they were getting all these additional prices. Well, rates went up last year. That put the brakes on a lot of people buying homes, right? So all of a sudden the home started sitting longer. Well, now 3 weeks into it, like, well, we're overpriced.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. So that's kind of where the market, how it, again, how the market dictates.
And I think most sellers have a number in their head. You know, we got to hit this.
Yes.
Anything over is gravy, but right. we got to hit this.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So obviously, you know, even if they're overpricing it now, they're like, well, we can afford to get the 3%. Give it up.
Right.
Every situation is different.
Right. But the biggest thing is understanding the seller concessions, how they work, you know, and that way when you are writing these offers and seeing, you know, if we have to get some, there's some cases we literally have
we
to
need
get
them.
So we have to find the right home to get it.
Right.
It's not depending on the situation, you know, how many
some
offers.
Some people don't have the cash for it. And
right. And we want to work it in between the agents and ourselves. And this is why you work with the professionals and we can help you, guide you. You know, I talk about, I've had a few podcasts that we talked about, you know, the selling agent or not using an agent because the market's so hot and then having to deal with it all yourself. Well, it's just showing time and time again that the people that buy and sell homes on their own typically don't get the amount of money that they would get if they literally use the agent.
What do you think about this? So I have a client right now who it's a new build. It's a brand new construction. And the builder said, I will give you $10,000 off if you don't use an agent.
Well, because they already have their own salespeople, right?
Right.
So in a builder sense, and this is the one thing is, if you are looking at a new home, a brand new home, you know, having your own agent is always the best because they have, I mean, they are going to. And I know their fiduciary interest is always to do both sides,
right.
But literally you have somebody in your corner, right? So, you know.
Because here I'm like, are you going to, do you know what to look over on the PA? Do you know?
Right.
I'm like, well, I mean, do you hire an attorney in that situation and pay him $500
right.
to have your back?
Right.
I would.
Right.
Yep. You know? Because if you don't know how to read a PA.
Right.
You know, it's. Like I said, I would hire an attorney.
Exactly. And in a new home, there's all kinds of things. You're doing additions, you know, like they always, hey, starting in the 290s, right?
Right. And that's then, for a plastic floor.
right. He gets some plastic cabinets.
Yeah, right. No handles.
I remember my first house I built in 2005. I was 26 years old when I signed the purchase agreement. And it literally starting in St. Michael in $220,000, and it was $305 by the time I was all done, right? And that we had laminate floors. It wasn't hardwood.
Right.
We had laminate counters. Wasn't granite, you know, but I wanted the third car garage. I wanted the walkout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did upgrade the bathtub to a jetted bathtub, you know, in the master.
And they charge you full price
but
for that.
It, like, we wanted this carpet versus that carpet because we had pets. You know, it was, you know, and then it was all one color, right? So, but it wouldn't, you know, 220 to 305.
That's a big
right?
difference.
So it's a major difference, right? But, you know, I had a real estate agent on my corner to say, hey, this is what we should do, or like just look, make sure this is this, and you know, kind of guided us what was going to be worthwhile. He said, you can always go and do, he's like, look at what the cost of their, what they're going to charge you for the laminate floors, right? So he's like, can you do your own hardwood or laminate hardwood
right.
yourself? And, you know, because it was 10 grand difference, right?
You know, so, or live in that for a while. Down
right.
the road, you replace it yourself.
Right. So that. So my point was, is using an agent, you know, and that saved me the additional 10 grand on the house that I didn't, and I could save the money later by doing some of this stuff. I mean, you may already know this stuff, but a lot of people just don't specifically.
Right.
I mean, somehow it was my first home. I was building a new house, so I got.
And that's what
there.
Everybody is right now. It's their first home.
Right.
So, you know, reach out and call us.
Right.
You know?
And right now, I mean, many first-time home buyers are doing first homes because, you know, they are buying a little bit further out. They can work from home. And, you know, there's a builder sitting on a ton of homes right
yep.
now. So the other thing is, you know, talking about seller concessions, builders before would absolutely not give any concessions unless you use their preferred lender.
Right.
Now people are like, listen, I want those, you have 10 other houses for sale.
Yeah.
I want to use my lender and you're going to give that to me anyway.
Right. Yes.
And they are bending over. Not every single one of them, but it's definitely, what did you say earlier? If you don't ask, you don't get.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
And don't let them control you, because a builder will push you and push you and push you into their lender.
Right.
And like I said, that lender works for that builder.
Right.
I work for you.
Right.
You know.
And you know, every lender, I don't want to pick on lenders, but there's a lot of times those lenders are getting paid a lot less, so they might be a lot newer. They might not have, you know, I've had to save a number of, just in the last year, I've saved a few different new construction builds because the lender messed up. And now they didn't, like, oh, we're 3 weeks from closing, and now they're saying we can't close.
Well, the lender never talks to them either. They're like, I haven't heard from the lender ever. I'm like, he doesn't need to call you because you're under lock.
You're just, at that time, you were just a number, right?
Yeah.
You're just taking, I mean, they were just signing people up like, oh, we got 300 homes in here.
Yeah.
Those 300 homes are going to be sold between this date and this date.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyway, that's going to kind of conclude our seller concession, a little bit of negotiation talk. but we, you know, talk to the experts. Terry and I, give us a call. Like and subscribe. Please reach out. And if you have any questions at all, just, you know, throw them in the comment section. We'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. But with that, I want to say goodbye all. Until next time.
Thanks for the chat.